Marcos, Texas. Show. My name is Kathy Lott, and I'm your host this evening. And we have as our guest this evening Mrs. Baudelia Esquivel Arredondo, and we also have in the studio her two daughters, Diana and Bibi. And we want to welcome you all to the show. I'm so excited to do this segment. Since the show started 2 years ago, I've always wanted to do a show and have someone who can come and talk to us about life on a ranch. And so I think I've hit the jackpot today. So I want to thank you for coming on to the show. And we always start our first segment with genealogy. I think it's important that for those of us that live in the United States, that we understand that we are an amalgamation of a lot of different people from a lot of different places. And so I want to get started with Mrs. Arredondo's genealogy. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm Baudelia Esquivel Arredondo from San Marcos, Texas, and I'd like to start by saying thank you for this opportunity to share what it was like growing up on the Scorchin Ranch, located on Ranch Road 12, about 5 miles outside of San Marcos and next to the Freeman Ranch. My father, Francisco Valdez Esquivel, was born April the 3rd, 1912, in Saltillo, Mexico, and he came to the United States on August the 20th, 1920, with his uncle, Leonardo Valdez. They came by the way of Laredo. Growing up, his family called him Kiko, and later on, as he was known as Pancho. Soon after his arrival, his mother, Catalina, and his sister and other family members arrived and settled at the Weiser farm in nearby New Braunfels in 1921. My dad married my mother, Felicita Sanchez, on May the 30th, 1936. My mother was born in New Braunfels at my grandparents' ranch in Barbarossa. The ranch was said to be in New Braunfels, so she was from the area. Later, it turned out it was officially in Guadalupe County. I had an older brother, Manuel Esquivel. I was only 2 weeks old when my dad got a job at the ranch as a ranch hand at the Scratchin Ranch, owned by Jean and Theodora Scratchin. 5 years later, my sister Bernice Esquivel Gonzalez was born. I had an aunt, Panchita, whose husband, Frank Rosas, worked at the Jean Scratchin at his Scratchin Chevrolet company in San Marcos, selling cars, and that was the connection to my dad getting a job at the ranch when Jean was looking for ranch help. Around 10 years ago, we were contacted by the daughters of the owner of the Weiser Ranch, Shirley Weiser Pfeiffer, and they were recognizing the Weiser farm and a historical marker, and she was seeking farmer workers from the farm to be recognized with the family and farm history. They held a reunion event that included extended family, from my dad's side plus the family of the original Weiss farm in New Braunfels, Texas.
Well, your father had quite an interesting story. So they come from New Braunfels, they're in New Braunfels, and then they come to San Marcos to work on the Scrutchen Ranch. And you said the year was
1936. I believe that's when it was. Yeah. 1936.
So when he comes to the ranch, was he able to bring his family to the ranch, or
yes.
did he come to work? Or
yes, we did. We moved there, and then we had our neighbors, the Trinidades, and they were our only neighbors, and we used to visit back and forth, and we had such a wonderful time together, you know.
And the Trinidads, they were on the Freeman Ranch.
They were on the Freeman Ranch, and we were on the Scrutchen Ranch.
So how far from your home to the Trinidads? Could you just, like, cross a field, or did
well,
you get in a vehicle?
Well, it was about 2 miles, and we would walk or go by horseback riding, or in bicycles, I remember, with Alice. Alice was my best friend, and she was about my age. So we had such a good relationship.
And so Alice, Kathy, she went on to marry Mr. Hurtado? No. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Daniel Hurtado.
But what struck me is that you were 2 weeks old
yes.
when you came to the ranch, right?
Yes, I was.
So,
you
literally grew up there with all
yes.
of the stories and all
it
the history.
It was beautiful. We had such a good relationship, and we used to love the country. We would walk. I remember walking the creeks and even by myself, you know, and I just loved it, you know. It was very wonderful.
How many families were living on the Scrutchen Ranch when you were there? So were you
the
strictly
only
the only
family,
one?
And they were the only family there. Of course, they had a lot more children. There were two boys.
Well, Simon and Jake?
Simon and Jake, and then Ophelia,
Vasquez Philo,
and Ruth,
Ferrer,
Alice, Francis,
Emma. Francis Sierra,
Emma,
Emma Zamora,
and yes, it was just real wonderful, and I remember them visiting us and us visiting them, and we as kids we would just. Play tag and just had so much fun, you know.
Wide open spaces.
Yes, it was just playing games, but it was so much fun. It was a beautiful life.
And you got a long-lasting friendship from
yes.
from that union between the two families that lived so close on the ranch.
Yes, I remember. Even Alice would come in a bicycle and. I would get on it with her, and I remember going down the hill, and we got gravel, and
I remember that story.
I fell and scraped all my arm, and I was just bleeding, and I was crying, and she was laughing because she was not hurt.
A true friend
back in the day.
Yes, but we had so much fun together. And I love her
But
children.
Now, they didn't rush you in an ambulance into
oh,
the town or anything
not.
For that.
No.
You had some, what's that red stuff that they would put on?
Sangre de chango.
That's what
sangre de chango, it just burned a little bit or something, just blow on it. And that was
and
it.
And go on.
And go, yep. yes, go on.
Pick yourself
but
up.
There you
it,
go.
Was, it was just a lot of fun, though. I mean, playing with the kids, with Jacinto and Simon. We just playing games, you know, and we had so much fun.
Life was simple
so
back
different.
Then. They didn't have the video games or the television or anything,
you
but they entertained
it,
yeah. themselves. And then I remember Mom talking about even riding, besides riding the horses, you talked about riding was it the sheep that you would get on top of?
Yes.
And even like now they call it mutton busting, but these kids did it. My mom talked about them just, you know, doing that for entertainment.
And then I would also race the deer. You know, they would not have a mama. And my dad would bring them, and we would race them, and then they would just go. And it was so much fun. They were my pets.
I remember you talking about bottle feeding.
Yes.
Deer,
my
the
deer,
baby.
The baby deers.
The fawns.
Even little goats, you know. It was so much fun. It was so different from nowadays.
So how many acres was the Scrutchen Ranch?
Oh, it's a very large.
4,000. I think it was
4,000 acres.
And that land was incredible. I remember you talking about there was even caves on the land. And
I remember
y'all would go deep into the
real holes that my dad, we would ride the horses, and he would show me where there were some great big holes that I guess they would go deep down and then caves, you know.
And you said he would cover for safety so the cows wouldn't
fall. Fence it around so the cattle would not fall, you know, or the horses.
And drinking water, was it mainly from a well? Well water? Or?
Yes, it was. I mean, we never had any problems with the water. So.
And so, the relationship you had with the Trinity Dodds was not only the relationship between the children, but relationship between the parents?
Oh,
so
yes,
your mother
were
and father
very
had a
good
very good
friends.
Relationship with the Trinidad?
Yes, Mrs. Rosa, her name was Rosa Trinidad, and my mother were very good friends, and Don Fernando with my dad, you know. And then we would participate in the parades, in the fiestas de 16 de septiembre.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that
And that
later
was
on.
So much fun. I would go as a China Poblana, you know. And
you're going to have to let me know what that is when we get to that
okay.
part. So you're living on this ranch. You played with the people. There's no entertainment. But did you learn how to sew or...
Well, in school, I took home making because I wanted to learn how to sew, you know.
But that wasn't something that your mom taught you. That was something that you learned in school.
No, that I learned at school because my mother did not sew, you know. And I was eager to learn. And then I started making all my dresses, you know.
And kitchen amenities, was there like a stove there or was it like a wood-burning stove? Or?
Oh, yes. We had this... calentador, and it was made of iron. It was real thick, and I would have to chop wood to keep the house warm or the kitchen warm, and so that was the only way we would keep the house warm, because it was very cold out there. The house was not insulated. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, the bedrooms were so cold. It
was it
just
a wood
kitchen.
Frame house, or
yes.
was it limestone?
It's a wood, and it was not insulated. The bedrooms were very, very cold, and we would just have to have a lot of quilts.
How many bedrooms? I mean, was it, like, with the dog run in the middle, or was it the, you know?
I remember it was a long room, and then the next was the bathroom. And then there was another room, which was the living room, and then a bedroom. And then we would have like a screen porch, and that had a bed in there, but you could seal that during the winter. And we had a bed there, and we used it as a bedroom, you know. So it was a beautiful life. We enjoyed it so much.
Well, great, great memories, and I think we'll segue that into a station break.
And you are listening to Raices here on KZSM LP 104.1, San Marcos, Texas, every Sunday night from 7 until 8 o'clock, hosted by Kathy Lahr. And as a reminder, the views expressed on the show are those of the host, the guests, and not necessarily those of KZSM or SMTX-CRA. We're going to be right back after these announcements. And yes, we are proudly underwritten by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation.
Burdine Johnson Foundation. Supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Nosotros aquí en KZSM, su radio comunidad, Les invitamos a participar en servir nuestra comunidad. Experiencia en radio no es necesario. Nosotros los entrenamos si quisiera ser locutor o ingeniero de programa, pero también necesitamos gente con experiencia de varias habilidades. Si quisiera saber más, se puede ponerse en contacto con nosotros en la página web en kzsm.org o por correo a 216 Norte Guadalupe Street, San Marcos, Texas, 78666, o ven a visitarnos en el estudio. Este es su radio comunidad. Venga y ser parte de ella.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Texas at highschoolofficials.com.
Anybody out there interested in chess? Join us at the San Marcos Local Chess Club. We get together every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the San Marcos Public Library. All levels are welcomed. Everybody is welcome. All ages are welcome. It's a really chilled environment just to enjoy and play some chess all together.
What's in the Daily News? I'll tell you what's in the Daily News. Story about a guy who bought his wife a small ruby with what otherwise would have been his union dues. That's what's in the Daily News.
Read the latest news about KZSM.org, your true community radio station, every Sunday in the San Marcos Daily Record. Look for our call letters in the headline of our exclusive column. The San Marcos Daily Record has been serving our community with news, features, sports, and opinion for over 100 years. Pick up your copy at your nearest grocery or convenience store. To subscribe to the print or electronic editions, go to www.sanmarcosrecord.com or call 512-392-2458.
And we're back here with you in the station. And take a look at our Sunday paper today. You will see our article, and it's going to be talking more about the SMMA Awards that we have got coming up as our fundraiser this Friday night over here at the Price Center, going from 6 o'clock is when the doors open, 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock is the SMMA Awards. We hand out 24 of the awards to the best of San Marcos, whether it is in radio, sound, per areas, whatever it may be, between San Antonio and Austin. This is where we're at, and we are highlighting those. And Kathy, your guests, Broken Arrow, they are nominated. They're in the top four for the finalist for the Tejano. They would rather it have been country, but they did get nominated in the Tejano band. So make sure you get out there and to go to the San Marcos Music Awards on the site.
I saw they were nominated with like Los Gatos. Is that correct?
Yeah. And so you can go out there and to vote on your favorites. And this does not cost you there, but you can get a discount going to the for half off on your ticket prices if you get a if you become a member, so and you get all sorts of great things. So, okay, I did the plug for the SMMA Awards. That's what I needed to do. This is our fundraiser, folks. So, you know, no, we don't sit here and talk on the community radio with all these long fundraisers, but we do have this a couple times a year, and this is one of our big events. Come on out and enjoy. It's going to be beautiful. It's a red carpet affair that'll be this next Friday night over at the Price Center. Kathy.
So you told us that the ranch was about 4,000 acres, and that is a very large amount of property for one person to oversee. So I wanted to ask you about what a typical workday looked like for your father.
Growing up on the Scratchin Ranch was a daily routine of tending to the cattle and land for my dad. He saw that the 300 Hereford cows and calves had water from the 8 windmills and kept the stock moving among the 9 pastures. He branded the cattle and worked in the ranch, included castrating the calves and shearing the goats. My dad was a real, real cowboy. He rode and cared for the horses, put on the horseshoes, just like a blacksmith, and he could do almost anything. He was just so talented. I remember going with him to find missing cattle and sometimes finding and bringing back sick for hurt cattle to nurse them back to health. He was as good as a vet. He was like a doctor, really. The ranch was on Ranch Route 12, and many times I recall him repairing fences from cars going off the road. My mom took care of the chickens and pigs. She made homemade white cheese known as queso Mexicano, and she would take it to the San Marcos grocery store on Guadalupe Street to sell it and would never stay on the cooler shelves very long. People always requested them, and they were always wanting them. There was a big demand for the cheese. Some people still remember it, and I think I could still make it if I, because I used to milk the cows too, and then help her to make the cheese.
Well, I remember eating that cheese like that when I was young. And I have to tell you that kind of cheese, compared to the processed cheese that we eat today,
no
nothing compares,
right?
You know?
And how often did she bring that into town?
Oh,
weekly.
Weekly?
Every week, because it was a process.
Yes.
Remember, she had,
yes, and people really, they were always waiting for them. She didn't have any problems.
Remember where she dried it out? It,
yes.
Had it hanging. It's like a cheesecloth.
It was called the quaha mm-hmm. or something like that. And then it would drain all the juice out. And then then she would pass it through a molino. And that would make the cheese and just salt. And it was just,
she made round little patties,
yes, like
right?
that. They were
and
round
wrapped
like that.
Them.
Yeah, about 3/4 to an inch
about.
Thick.
Well, no,
yeah.
They were about this thick, yeah, I remember.
About an inch.
Kind of almost like, looked like a patty, right?
Yes,
and it was cheese. And yeah. people
just
asked
loved
for
it,
and it went so fast.
Very much. There was a lot of requests for it. It was fun making it, too. It was so good. So simple, too.
So
you remember.
How much did a block of cheese or a round of cheese at that time, how much did she sell that for? At that time?
I think it was for 98 cents.
Wow. So,
yeah.
And what year are we talking about? Then the 50s, the 60s?
50s, I think,
Yeah. That would be something equivalent right now, probably about $4.50. If you're talking...
Oh, probably 19, more than that. Yeah.
No, I mean, knowing... I kind of have to look at this sometimes, but in those dollars now, so if you said 1960, let's just say 1960.
I remember it in the 60s, too, because that's when I was a kid.
And
yes.
I'm saying if it was about a dollar then, it's probably going to be about $4.50 to $5
today?
Right now in today's money.
Yeah, probably a little bit more, because I know when you go and you buy queso fresco, that's already like
$5.99.
Oh, and up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But see, this was somebody doing this in their home kitchen,
yes,
bringing it in here. You did not have regulation. You didn't have anyone worried about suing about something. This was, hey, this is the way that you got it fresh off the farm. The true, we didn't have to have farmers markets back then. You just came in and you brought it into the grocery store.
Exactly.
Or somebody that bought one from you knew somebody that wanted some, and sometimes they'd buy, two or three from you and then take it to somebody else who wanted or, gifted it. Besides the queso, was there anything else that she would make that she would bring into town? Or was
no,
it just the queso?
It was just the queso. Now, they were always, like, people would visit them, and she would always give them eggs mm-hmm. and deer meat, because my dad always hunted with during deer season, you know. And
did he make jerky?
And No, I don't remember.
But they made hamburger meat out of the deer meat.
Deer meat.
And y'all had a lot. Abundant.
Abundance.
Meat for the season.
And my mother always gave people that came to visit, you know, either some hamburger meat and some eggs and cheese. And they always left with something, you know.
Well, I think now today the standard, you know, we talk a lot about how the traditions and the culture has changed quite a bit. And, you know, back then, because we didn't have that type of entertainment, people did visit each other quite a bit.
Yes, they did.
And there was conversation. The kids would go out and play, and you'd have coffee and a meal, and you went with home with whatever somebody gave you. And I think we're missing a lot of that in our society today.
Because people don't do that no more. Mm-hmm. But I do remember how much fun it was. Or visited the relatives, the same thing, you know. My mother always took them something, always.
And but, so the visits from your friends to the farm, was that mainly like on Saturday and Sundays, or?
No, even, yeah, and even during the week. Because the Trinidades would come over and we just played lots of games, you know. And
I remember you saying that the Trinidades were your friends, but they were almost like family as well. Y'all were almost practically related.
Yes.
And then you had a big family on your mom's side, more than your dad's. And so those numerous cousins and the extended family came and visited. They loved coming to the ranch because they were in town. So here they were coming out to the country.
Yes. And then on Easter Sundays, we always got together. The family would all come, and it was just so much fun.
So did you have Easter egg hunts out there on the ranch?
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes,
I bet that was fun. So you had all the family, everyone out there, and you had all that ground, and you put out
it
the
was
eggs.
So much fun.
And you had access to a river. Did you guys go to a river?
No, we did. Well, later, Mr. Scrutchin bought a ranch that has that lake.
On Staples Road,
they bought a farm like many ranchers bought in order to farm out there and for their hay and other things. And so that land was right on the San Marcos River. Can remember as a family going there very often, fishing there, and the lake was a recreation for us. It was wonderful.
And we would barbecue there and our friends, you know, and we just had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. That was later
but
on.
So that was south of town, so that was where you'd have the hay, you'd go out, and that was where you'd raise the on the black bottom dirt out there.
Many ranches had sometimes that option to have somewhere to, you know, raise.
Right, because, you know, up on the
for
rocky
feed for
right.
their cattle and everything, yes.
Right, when you get back up on the karst features up there on top of the aquifer, you know, if it's dry and,
rock
you know, there isn't a lot for them to eat, so you've got to have that hay, you know, to keep them going. Yes.
And so did your dad oversee that?
Yes, that right.
Well, now you've got 4,000 acres on top of this.
Plus.
On top of that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which was right here on the east side of San Marcos.
That's quite a lot. Your dad's day must have started extremely early and end really late.
Yes.
5 a.m.
5
right?
a.m. He would go to bed real early and get up real early too, you know.
Which kind of for your mom too was probably that time, maybe 5 or even earlier, because mm-hmm. she's got to get up and maybe make a lunch or pack him a lunch if he has to
start
go
yes,
breakfast.
That's right. That's
coffee,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
And it wasn't just like you could go and turn on the Keurig and make a cup of coffee.
No.
No. And a lot of times Mr. Scrutchin would come and just be in the kitchen with my dad and mom, you know. And even during the winter when we were trying to get dressed, the other rooms were so cold. And that house was just so cold. But
you remember the cold, but do you remember the heat?
Well, when it was hot, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about the because of the screen porch and y'all sleeping in there, that at nights it was actually
cool
out
it
there.
It was very cool.
Without being air conditioned.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes when my cousins would come visit, we would put a mattress on the roof, and we would sleep under the stars, and it was so much fun. It had a flat area, you know. And
oh, how beautiful, right? You get to see the wide open
stars,
spaces and the beautiful stars.
And it was
stars.
So beautiful.
I remember you talking about that.
Oh,
it was so fun.
It was so
It's
lovely.
Good. It's wonderful memories that she has.
Oh, my childhood, yeah.
I think we're going to go ahead and go into a station break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation with Baudelia Esquivel-Arredondo and her daughters.
All right, and you are listening to Raices here on KCSM 104.1, KCSM LP 104.1, San Marcos, Texas, and on KCSM.org, worldwide on the internet. So thank you all for tuning in. And as a reminder, the views expressed on the show are those of the hosts and the guests, and not necessarily those of KCSM or SMTXCRA. We're going to be right back with you.
This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
HaysInform.com is your gateway to information that you need about emergencies here in Hays County. If you go to their website, that is HaysInform.com, you will find all sorts of information from current alerts, upcoming events, and talking about safety here in our community. That is HaysInform.com. That is your connection, along with KZSM, LP, FM 104.1. We are here to help in emergencies in the community. Go to HaysInformed.com to find out how you can be prepared.
El Colectivo de Salud de Mujeres del Hill Country ofrecemos una clínica gratis de mujeres. Ahorita ofrecemos cuidado prenatal y posparto, bien mujer exámenes, pruebas de PAP, exámenes de mama, planificación familiar, consejería de salud mental. También apoyo para adolescentes, el embarazo y posparto, menopausia y también el abuso doméstico. Por favor, llámenos o haga una cita en línea. Nuestra dirección es 724 La Buena Vista Drive en Wimberley, Texas. Nuestro teléfono 512-256-3696 y también en el internet www.hcwhc.org. Cuando nos viene a buscar, busque la puerta azul.
Ask you, I'm always telling Rob about all the things that I used to eat when I was little, and sometimes I tell people I ate this when I was little, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you ate that. But you know, when you grew up in a Hispanic family and you had chickens and you had cows, just about every part of the animal was utilized. And I wanted to ask you, because you said that your dad, you know, he branded cattle and that he also castrated. And I wanted to ask about the castration of the bulls. And I know that a lot of the ranchers used to sell what we call now mountain oysters. Did your dad, did they sell those? Did y'all eat those? What happened to the mountain oysters once they were castrated?
It was Mr. Scrutchin that would eat them. I mean, he apparently he liked them a lot. And since it was nothing but meat, you know, he seemed to enjoy them a lot.
So he would come by the ranch when that was happening, and
yes,
he would take them, or he and his wife would cook them, or how?
No, well, he would just take them. You know, I don't know who cooked them for him,
but he would pick them up.
But he did, yes, and it was just so wonderful, that ranch life.
Yeah.
The Scrutchin family had a home on the ranch, but they didn't live there. Full time. They always lived in their San Marcos home, which was near the hospital. The main ranch house was used during hunting season and for parties. In later years, the Scrutchin's daughter and son-in-law, Aunt Scrutchin Hawthorne and Jim Hawthorne, lived in the main ranch house, and they married there. My mother did light housekeeping for them and babysit their son, Todd, while my dad continued to work on the ranch.
So one of the Scrutchin daughters married into the Cawthorne
family,
and then the Cawthorns, they had the Coca-Cola company?
Yes, that's right, that's right. The Scrutchin ranch was adjacent to the Freeman ranch, where Fernando Trinidad was a foreman. We grew up very close to the Trinidades because we were ranch neighbors and our only neighbors. The Trinidad daughters were some of my sister's closest friend.
And then I wanted to ask a question about civic organizations and community service that your mother and your father did. And I know I've seen photos of your father dressed as a true cowboy, right? On a horse carrying a flag.
Yes.
And they participated in the tradition back then of the 16 parade.
16 de septiembre.
Tell us a little bit about that.
They were members of the Sociedad Cuauhtémoc. And every year during 16 de septiembre, they both participated in the Mexican celebration parade. They took the horses, and my dad and I would ride the horses in the parade. The celebration was where the Cuauhtémoc Hall is today. Back then, it was called a plataforma, you know.
So it wasn't the building that is there now. So it was just a wooden platform.
Yes, it was just the concrete, and then there were booths around it, you know. It was a lot of fun going to those dances, you know. The celebration was big, and we had a booth or puesto where we sold Mexican food like enchiladas and chalupas. My mom cooked the food, and I was a waitress. So I took the orders, and I was pretty young. Our whole family got involved in festival days. Were fun and memorable.
So the money you raised, did that go to the festival, to the hall, or did you keep that for you all?
I think it was my mother's that she kept the money for.
Yeah, but it was a fundraiser. It was a way for you to help.
Yes, yeah. It was. And it was a lot of fun. I mean.
Well, and I think, too, like for a lot of people that, you know, that know what the celebration of this Ustase is for, but for a lot of people that lived here in San Marcos, that was the time of them getting ready to go to the Piscas. And so a lot of the people would leave. But for your family, because you were on a ranch, that didn't affect you. You didn't do any kind of...
But during the summers, my mother would take us pick cotton, which it was not very much fun. It was very hard.
It's hard work, yeah.
It was hard work, and it was so hot. I remember those rocks and the dirt being so hot, you know, and you have to almost be kneeling down to pick up the cotton. It was hard work, really.
So how old were you when you were going out to pick cotton with your mom? So it's just you and your sister and your mom? Or?
Well, I don't remember my sister doing it because it was mainly me and my brother. And my brother hated it. He always said, "Oh, I hate whoever invented this." He would get so mad. But
so you were a teenager at the time?
We were teenagers, yes. Ooh. Yes. And my sister was still very young.
Very young.
Yeah, but it was hard work.
And your dad's
She's got one more thing to add in.
Okay. We even participated in some of the parades in San Antonio, in the Mexican parades. They had a club where we would meet before and then continue the celebration afterwards. But I can't remember the name of the club. I was too young, and I guess I didn't pay that much attention.
Well, you were having fun.
But I remember it was a lot of fun, though, still going up there and participating. But that's all I remember.
But a lot of those traditions do continue in San Antonio. That's a tradition here in San Marcos that has kind of been lost.
Yes.
We don't celebrate that anymore. Mm-hmm. And
so your dresses, your outfits,
yes.
What did you sew them yourselves, your mom, or did you buy those?
I don't know where my mother bought me it was red, white, and green, the colors of the Mexican flag.
And
I don't know where she bought it. I guess we went to Laredo, because I remember it having an eagle in the middle with sequins, you know, and it was very pretty.
And you called, there was a specific name for that. You said you would go dress like
a China poblana.
A China poblana. So is China's like a doll, or?
Well, that's what
they
call
it.
China poblana.
Did you wear braids? Did your mom braid your hair?
Yes, I had long
hair. Did you have a ribbon in your hair too?
Yes.
I heard that somebody once tell me that when they would get ready, that they would have their hair braided and then they would have a ribbon installed in it. And I was like, what?
I always used to have long hair. My mother always made braids, you know. So all the time I was in school, I had braids, you know.
And I want to talk about your parents' involvement in the civic organization. So we know that they were involved in the Cuauhtémoc. When did they attend the meetings to the Cuauhtémoc? Or?
You know, I really don't remember. I think my dad did, you know. With Mr. Trinidad, you know, because I remember them even having pictures on the wall, but then I heard that they're no longer there, but then somebody told me that they're at the courthouse, so I don't know, because I've never been to
see. Well, we may just have to take a walk to the courthouse
see them.
Which pictures are those?
Well, my dad, for one thing, you know.
Some of the historic parades.
Pictures of the founding fathers.
Things they did at the
But I've never seen them, but I did hear that that's
where they
were.
Well, they're supposed to be having a celebration this year. I can't remember if it's 80 or 85 years, so we'll go ahead and most definitely keep an eye out for that and then let you guys know, so that if they do have something, you know, we'll be sure that all of us show up for this event.
Yeah, we should.
Were they involved in any other civic organizations other than the Cuauhtémoc?
No, that I remember, no. It was just mainly the 16th of Septiembre that I remember.
And there were other ranches, and so a lot of them had men with Hispanic surnames as the foremen. Do you remember any of the other ranch people that lived on the farms?
I remember the ranches? Don Carlos Romero. He was a true cowboy, and he was always dressed with boots and jeans, and he was a real neat man. And his wife, and she also very dressed in jeans and like a cowgirl.
Señora Aurora.
Aurora Romero. She was a neat lady. But they didn't have any children. They did have a nephew that sometimes was with them, I remember. But that's all that I can remember. I can't remember his name.
So. We'll go ahead and go into a station break, and we'll come back. The time is going by so fast.
You're listening to Reyes here on KZSM LP 104.1 San Marcos, Texas, and hosted by Kathy Laura every Sunday from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We're going to be right back with you here after this quick station break.
How many times have you entered San Marcos, saw the Kiwanis sign, and wondered, what do they do? The short answer is many things to improve the community, with a focus on children's programs such as the summer reading program in the library and making scholarships available to graduating seniors. It takes a commitment from the club's members to make this happen. If you're looking for a way to be more involved with your community, try the San Marcos Kiwanis Club. They meet every Thursday at noon at Grin's Restaurant on North LBJ, downtown San Marcos. That's Thursday at noon. Grin's Restaurant. Hope to see you there.
Want to save your life in a flood? Get a rain gauge. It shows how much rain has fallen near you. Please remember these numbers: 2 inches in one day, 3 inches or more in one day. 2 inches of rain in one day in your gauge means that low water crossings are filling up. 3 inches of rain or more in one day in your gauge might mean flash floods. Don't drive anywhere without checking on road conditions. Rain gauges, like smoke detectors, are cheap. Get a rain gauge and stay safe from high water. This has been a public service announcement from KZSM LP 104.1.
Hey y'all, it's DJ Mike from Dance Time in Texas. Join me Mondays at 2 o'clock as I count down the top Texas Red Dirt songs that are packing the dance floors all over Texas. You'll hear new songs, rewind some older ones, and find out the stories about the songs from the artists themselves. It's Dance Time in Texas, Monday at 2 o'clock, right here on 104.1 FM KZSM, True Community Radio, right here in San Marcos, Texas. I'm DJ Mike. I'll see you out on the dance floor.
This broadcast is partially supported by a grant from the Burdine Johnson Foundation, supporting charitable causes in Hays County and Central Texas.
Well, I can't believe the time is here and we're into our last segment. And I wanted to ask you about education. You know, what was the education for you like when you were living on the ranch? And what was it like after you grew up and started to get, you know, your next education, whether it was going to high school or you went on to college?
The ranch was 6 miles from San Marcos on Rancho 12, and back then it fell further away. I started school at Southside School on Lee Street, which was once Bonham School, and now it's Centro Cultura de Hispano Museum. Later, I moved to St. John's Catholic School, which was up on the hill where the Catholic Student Center is today. And that is now St. John's Church. But the school bus wouldn't pick me up unless I attended public school. So I then attended school where Evans Auditorium was once located. Since we lived so far out, the bus picked us up at the gate, which was 2 miles from the ranch house. So it was sometimes a long walk every morning before and after school. My parents believed strongly in getting a good education, so they made sure that we didn't miss school. Even when it rained, they would take us to the gate. But there were two creeks, and my dad would cross us on the horses. It was scary because it was very steep, and the water ran fast across the creek with a current. We always made it, but my dad was always so brave, and I can still remember how the horses moved and how he was so afraid to fall, and I kept thinking, oh my God, if he falls, we're gonna drown. You know, it was really scary. I could see the struggle the horse would do, you know, but my dad insisted on taking us to school, which we had just stayed home, you know, but he was like,
well, he was adamant that you were going to get to school no matter what.
Yes,
because education was important.
It was really scary.
So did you graduate from high school? And
yes.
Was San Marcos already integrated when you graduated from high school?
Or yes, it was. And we didn't have any problems. I can remember some of my friends, and we never had any problems, you know. And yes, and then I went on to business school in Austin. I would stay sometimes at my aunt's, and she had a home on Lee Street, you know. And I would stay there with her and got a ride to school in Austin, to the business school.
And so you've gone on, do you go on and get a job in an office once you graduated from school?
Yes, I applied with the Texas Rehabilitation Commission and got a job right away, and I worked 45 years with them, and was to help the disabled in order for them to work. And we were office at the college at one time, and we would help the disabled students we would pay for their schooling, you know, and then they would go on to work.
And so were you already, were you still single when you got this job, or were you already married, or?
I was already married, yes.
And so tell us who you married. Tell us who your husband was.
Okay, we used to go to the San Marcos groceries all the time, and my husband would be working there too, you know. I mean, and he would pull my pigtails and play with me, you know. And I don't know, we just,
you started off as friends.
With huh? friends, and then later we got married, you know. We got married on April the 24th, 1960. Our wedding was at St. John's and reception at the Scratchin Ranch. It rained a lot, and it just rained a lot. And in fact, everybody said it would be good luck and if it rained during your wedding. And it started out, it did flood a lot. Our guests had to be rescued by the National Guard, I remember. Yes.
I remember a newspaper article that showed, she still has it, mm-hmm. with her wedding album, and it talks about how they had the Esquivel Arredondo wedding on Scratchin Ranch, and how the National Guard had to go and rescue guests from the flooding in the big National Guard trucks, apparently. Yeah. Right?
Yes, yes. And I remember at that time, I guess the material would shrink if you got it wet. I remember this guy, Ovalle, and he had a brand new suit, and then when he got all wet, and then his pants were real short then. It was funny. It was really funny.
Well, there weren't a lot of Ovalles here in San Marcos. It had to be
Raul Ovalle. Nora's husband, yeah. Yes. Nora. And they always joked about it because, he was a brand new suit, you said, right?
Yes, a brand new suit.
And it shrunk to, right under his knees.
Isn't
that a hoot?
And some of my friends were crying. I remember. Well, they were scared, of the water, because that creek was real deep, and the water would go real fast.
The same creek that the horses took them over.
I was so afraid. I still can remember those horses. The panic. I was the one that panicked, but. It was very scary.
Well, I want to know what was on the menu, because back then when you had a wedding, it was typically mole. So was it mole?
I'm sure it was, yeah. And I remember Agrippina, they had a big pan like that full of mole, And even her dress was, the sleeves had shrink, And then she was, I guess, so busy that it tore from here. I remember her new dress, that she was just bringing the bolts of food inside the house, and she was really working hard.
And you mentioned Agrippina. She was your sister-in-law?
Yes.
And she ended up marrying Mr. Saucedo, so she was Agrippina Arredondo Saucedo.
Saucedo, yes, that's right.
The whole family got involved, right?
Yes, very much.
And how old were you when you got married?
19 years old.
1960.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
19 years old.
And, you got going, started your family, and, just took over.
And so
right at the 9 months she was born. And my dad used to kid about that she was the cause of the storm,
There you go.
Right on the 9 months, exactly.
So tell us the names of your children that you had from the union with your husband, John.
Okay, Diana Arredondo Gonzalez, Delinda Arredondo, And Daniel, my son, he's the baby.
Well, I'm glad because I've never known her real name. I've always called her Bibi.
Wow. Yeah, and the reason she's called Bibi is because Diana could not say baby. She would say Bibi.
Ah, now we know.
She would say Bibi instead of baby. She couldn't say baby. And then I remember when my son was born, my dad came to see me, and my mother was with me. And Diana told my dad, my dad asked, "Where's your grandma?" And Diana said, "She's sleeping with a man." And my son was a boy and a man. She said he was a man.
And, your son Danny, he went on to have a very long, stellar career with the San Marcos Police Department.
Yes,
now.
Yes. And he's now with CLIC.
CLIC
is combined.
Supports law enforcement. Association that supports the police officers.
Yes. Yeah. He does a lot with the Blue Santa, and
he did for years.
And still involved with community and the community outreach department. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and in closing, is there anything else that you want to tell us?
What's one fun story that you haven't told us yet?
Tell them about when you were in school and they used to call you Boots.
Oh, the Trinidades. And I think they were a big family, and I had boots, and I guess they
cowboy
wanted
boots,
to.
Like a
to
cowboy.
And I would wear my cowboy boots, and you could tell that, like, they were envy, you know, and he would call me Boots. Jacinto did. It made me mad. I didn't like it.
You know? And now today, people love dressing in boots and cowboy boots. Yeah,
only one that had boots, you know.
Back in the day.
Well, it's been my pleasure to have you on the show. I'm so glad you accepted our invitation to come. And as we move forward, I want to pick your brain about some other things. So hopefully you'll make it back onto the show and come and talk to me about some other things that I want to talk about. And so I want to thank you for helping me have your mom on the show. And you guys have been just very helpful. So I want to thank you all.
Thank you.
It's been, as I said, my pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
And with that, we'll go ahead and sign off.
Okay. Give me a second. Say one more thing for me. Kathy, give me one more second.
Tune in next week. We're going to go ahead and talk about a gentleman who just passed away, Mr. Brenton Wood. And we're going to go ahead and play some of his music. And we're going to talk about his legacy in the East LA sector of Los Angeles and the lowrider community.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for tuning in to Rises here on KCSM. We'll be back with you next week, 7 o'clock on Sunday night.